Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company, a proud, longtime supporter of Living on Earth. Since 1993, we've given 10% of our profits to efforts that help protect and restore the Earth. Everything from supporting organic farmers to spearheading organizations like Climate Counts, where you can learn how committed your favorite companies are to the fight against climate change. Learn more about our Profits for the Planet program at stonyfield.com.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, it's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Kellerman. The exponential growth in digital data, photos, emails, videos, corporate, governmental, and personal records, has been soaring like a rocket. And to keep up with the demand to store, manipulate, and manage all those gajillions of gigabytes, we've increasingly turned to the cloud. Vast, often remote sites made up of millions of computer servers that use prodigious amounts of energy. Now, Greenpeace wants cloud companies to come clean on their energy use and has issued a new report rating how well they do. Greenpeace senior IT analyst Gary Cook is author of the study, How Green is Your Cloud?
At a global level, our estimates show that electricity demand in the cloud would rank among countries, but make it the fifth largest electricity consumer in the world, equivalent to the amount of emissions from airline travel. And what we did our report for was to really try to shine a light on which companies are doing well in terms of powering their platforms with renewable energy, and those who maybe aren't doing quite so well, because there's lots of claims about how green the cloud is, but we think it's really important to look at companies and how they're performing.
Well, the cloud is also growing very rapidly.
That's very true. If these companies, who are some of the most innovative in the world, embrace the challenge to power their platforms with renewable energy, they would be leading the charge for all of us to have clean energy. If they go in the other direction, they could actually be holding us back and making investments that could be extending the life of coal plants and making investments that's going to slow down the transition to renewable energy.
Well, I'm looking at your scorecard here. So you rate them in terms of their amount of coal and nuclear power they get, plus four variables: energy transparency, infrastructure siting, energy efficiency and greenhouse gas mitigation, and renewables and advocacies. And none of them do really well. You gave no straight A's. You didn't give any straight B's either. A lot of D's and F's.
That's true. On the plus side, we have seen significant improvements since we put out a similar report last year. On the downside, we see many companies growing very quickly and building in locations that's going to be largely powered by coal and other sources of dirty energy. So quite a bit of room for improvement.
You really take Apple to task. You say that their cloud storage facilities, their new ones in North Carolina, are, you know, really not very clean at all.
Apple is one of the most innovative and popular companies in the world. They challenge us all to think different in the past. And what we really need to see Apple is accept that challenge with regards to its energy use for its cloud. And so what they need to be doing is demanding better from Duke Energy, who has a number of coal plants very close by that use mountaintop removal coal from Appalachia, and they're a big customer. They have the ability to demand better, demand that Duke think different, and provide them clean energy.
There are, of course, companies, say, like Amazon, which does all of its business basically on the cloud, and it says, you know, hey, we save a lot of trips to the store, you know, digital books, we save trees.
We view the IT sector as a critical partner in driving a clean energy economy, you know, using video conferencing instead of transportation, or do it online rather than have to do it in the real world. But it's important that we get this investment right, because we're going to continue to rely upon it more and more, and it's a significant power demand.
So how green is the Greenpeace cloud?
So Greenpeace has adopted a global commitment to move its IT services to be powered by green energy as fast as we can, and have been contacting our providers, many of whom are included in the evaluation we released this week, to understand the amount of renewable energy they're using and make sure that we can fully power our cloud services from clean energy.
One of the companies that you rate is Akamai. It's one of the largest cloud service and data delivery companies in the world. And Gary, I'm going to speak to Akamai after our conversation. You got a question for them, because you rank them on this report.
We gave one of our few A's in this evaluation because of their transparency. They are really the only company who is reporting the amount of carbon across their network. Ask the question to them is, when are they going to get other companies to do the same?
Gary Cook is author of Greenpeace International's new study, How Green is Your Cloud? Well, as mentioned, Akamai is one of the cloud companies ranked in the study. At any given time, up to 30% of all internet traffic is carried on Akamai's cloud computing network. In Hawaiian, Akamai means clever or smart, so maybe we shouldn't be surprised that it's the only company Greenpeace gave an A for energy transparency. It's the only company that measures the energy used at its cloud data centers in terms of carbon emissions. Nicole Peel-Molter is Director of Environmental Sustainability at Akamai. I put Gary Cook's question to her. What was Akamai doing to get other cloud companies to do the same thing?
It's a great question, and I think it has to be answered by each company on their own. They have to make their own decisions about how transparent they want to be with their data. Akamai felt that it was important for us to be transparent because we could help other companies understand that metricing their energy and carbon emissions is actually a way to make their operations more efficient.
But you did get a D in renewables and advocacy.
Yes. We own and operate our own servers. We have currently over 100,000 of them, and they reside in 75 countries in third-party data centers. And we don't control the operations of those data centers, and we don't have anywhere to site our own renewable energy. We want to start working with our data center partners to better understand how their operations can become more efficient, because we feel like energy efficiency is probably where we're going to get the biggest impact. It reduces costs, so it's a natural for businesses to adopt.
Well, can't you choose your data center partners? You're a big company.
We certainly can, but to be honest, there aren't a lot of data center providers out there who actually do on-site renewables, because data centers tend to use megawatts of power, and you can't really put solar panels on a data center to provide even a tiny fraction of that power consumption. So usually what we see is where it's available, our data center partners can purchase renewable energies off of the grid.
Well, I don't know about the renewables, though. You know, Microsoft is going to get 100% of its energy from renewables in the UK and Ireland. They've got new data farms there. And Facebook says they're building one in Sweden. So I guess it is possible.
It certainly is possible. Akamai doesn't have the scale that these other companies that you mentioned do. So we have to sort of work within the business parameters of what's right for Akamai. And we certainly are going to proactively look for those opportunities where they make sense for the business.
I was looking at some statistics, and one that really caught my eye was this one. It says that by 2020, there's going to be a 50-fold increase in data that will be stored in the cloud. That's mind-boggling. Talk about clouds. These are storm clouds. How can you handle all of that data and do it, you know, in an environmentally conscious, sustainable way? Can it be done?
Yeah, and I think that's the question that Greenpeace is asking, is that you can't get to carbon neutrality with energy efficiency. What needs to happen is we need to go to less carbon-intensive electricity. What we're seeing is the states are going to a higher level of, through the renewable portfolio standards, meaning they have to, each state wants to have a higher mix of renewable energies in its electricity portfolio. In California, it's 30% by 2020. Texas and I believe Massachusetts have aggressive targets as well. What we're hoping is that as there's a bigger patchwork of these targets and standards among the states, at some point the federal government will say, we need to standardize on at least a baseline level for the renewable energy.
Do I hear you asking for federal regulation?
I think I would like to see the federal government take some leadership in this as far as an overall energy policy. What I hear a lot is that businesses are asking for some certainty around what is the price of carbon, what will be my future price of electricity, and then they can adapt their strategies. I think it's inevitable that we're marching towards carbon-free energy. I heard recently that it's a $7 trillion industry globally, and it would be nice for the U.S. to take a leadership role in that and get a decent-sized chunk of that. I think that might solve our economic woes and certainly our jobs problems.
So kind of every cloud has a green lining.
Every cloud has a green lining, yes. Green both in dollars and environmental.
Well, Nicole, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Nicole Peel-Molter is Director of Environmental Sustainability at Akamai.